And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, it's about 9 minutes after 11 here on the WGN Radio Theater. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is our Christmas show. And Elisa Wolf, who is looking incandescent here.
I don't think
is
that
here.
Makes sense.
Yes, incandescent.
That's
it's like
a light
illuminating.
Bulb.
It's like illuminating.
Okay.
And this is program number 37. It is December 20th, 2015, 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the morning every Sunday night. And beginning January 2nd, we'll be here on Saturday nights as well, 11 o'clock till 2 a.m. Mike Estella across the council from me, our executive producer, and the best in the business, Dan Long, in the booth, keeping us on the air and hitting all the right buttons so we can play classic radio shows for you here all the way to 2 a.m. Lisa, do you know what's on the agenda?
I do.
What is it?
Would you like me to help you out with that?
Yeah, some Christmas programming.
All right. Yes, we have Grand Central Station.
Okay, that's good.
From December 1949, A Miracle for Christmas.
Right.
Okay.
And
we've got,
can you talk tonight? Or
I don't know if I can. We'll see
not,
how it goes. We've got an episode of Suspense coming up.
Michael,
one
do
of
the
your
talking
favorites.
For you if you want. If you don't
Mike?
Want to talk.
Maybe, but I've got cookies, so.
Okay. He's eating cookies right
you're
now.
You're just cranky.
Suspense?
You're
no.
just being cranky.
It's our Christmas show.
Don't be cranky. This is our Christmas show. We've got an episode of Suspense coming up from December 20th, 1955, The Cave.
Right.
And Boston Blackie, your yes. favorite, December 22nd, 1948, Stolen Rings at Christmas Time.
All right. All that's coming your way. But first, our sponsor segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
Hello, my name is Doris is an upcoming comedy drama starring this Academy Award-winning actress as Doris, a 60-something single woman who strikes up a romance with her much younger coworker.
Oh, I saw the
like
trailer
this.
To this. It looks fantastic.
I'm excited about this
All
one.
All right, so Lisa's talking about a celebrity who everybody loves.
Oh,
and
yes.
in 1994, she starred in this movie, Forrest Gump. Take a listen.
Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're going to get.
All right, if you know who that celebrity is, give us a call right now, 312-981-7200. You'll win two tickets to the Royal George Theater and see Baritones Unbound, right?
That's right.
All right, call us now, 312-981-7200. Win a pair of tickets, and we'll find our winner after this break.
We're back, and we're playing Celebrity Scoop, and it's a Christmas show. Let's play that movie clip again.
Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're going to get.
We have Scott on the line. That is one famous line. Right, Scott?
Absolutely.
What movie is that from?
Forrest Gump, and it was Sally Field.
That is exactly right. I think everybody loves Sally Field, right? She's just one of those people. Anyways, Scott, you are a big winner. You have won two tickets to see Baritones Unbound, playing right now at the Royal George Theater through January 3rd. And it's a trio of Broadway and international opera stars. And I hope you can check it out at royalgeorgetheater.com, and I hope you enjoy the show.
I will. Thank you very
Great.
Much.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Merry Christmas to you. Okay. It's time for our first classic radio show. Oh, you were giving me some hard time about incandescent.
You know what? I looked it up just to make sure I wasn't crazy, because it always reminds me of a light bulb, and it says emitting light as a result of being heated.
Right. Well,
so I wasn't sure what you meant
are.
By that.
You emit light. And I got you riled up. You're
yes.
all you're in a heated mood here.
I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Christmas, so of course you want to stay heated. It's cold out there.
That makes perfect
Baby,
sense.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Baby, it's cold.
You don't
cold
want me
out.
Singing.
No.
Just like Steve Cochran in that promo, you don't want Steve singing, you don't
yeah,
want
Yeah, we
Carl
don't want Carl singing.
Singing.
All
no,
right.
Leave the singing up to Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, those kind of guys.
Right.
Right.
There's a few women out
oh,
there
yeah,
who can sing as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely.
One or two.
All right, so we're going to start out our Christmas show with an incredible Christmas story from 1949. It's called A Miracle for Christmas. It stars Mason Adams. And everybody should remember Mason Adams. He was the Smucker's guy. Remember the old Smucker's commercials?
I do.
He did a lot of stuff. We have a picture of him posted, though, on our Facebook page. Just search WGN Radio Theater, and you'll see a picture of him. It'll bring back a memory or two. This drama, though, Grand Central Station, created by Hyman Brown, who also brought us Inner Sanctum and the CBS Radio Mystery Theater and many, many radio shows. This show started in 1937, ran till 1954, and it dramatized stories ranging from romantic comedies to heartwarming dramas. And the narrator intoned that Grand Central Station was the crossroads of a million private lives, a gigantic stage on which there are played 1,000 daily dramas. So, you know, he came from New York, Hyman Brown, and he would go through Grand Central Station all the time. He thought, hey, there's millions of stories here. I'll do a radio show about the people that go through Grand Central Station. That's what this was. And it had all the best New York actors because it was broadcast out of New York. And Mason Adams was a New York-based radio actor. And this show is absolutely phenomenal. It's a great Christmas show. Really listen to this, folks, because it's one of the best. This was sponsored by Pillsbury Flowers, heard on CBS. As I say, stars Mason Adams, called A Miracle for Christmas, December 24th, Christmas Eve, 1949. Here's part one of Grand Central Station.
From New York, Pillsbury's best enriched flour brings you Grand Central Station. As a bullet seeks its target, shining rails in every part of our great country are aimed at Grand Central Station, heart of the nation's greatest city. Drawn by the magnetic force of the fantastic metropolis, day and night great trains rush toward the Hudson River, sweep down its eastern bank for 140 miles, flash briefly with a long row of tenement houses south of 125th Street, dive with a roar into the twin 1.5 mile tunnel which burrows beneath the glitter and swank of Park Avenue, and then Grand Central Station. Crossroads of a million private lives. Gigantic stage in which are played 1,000 dramas daily. Now, for the sixth consecutive year, Pillsbury Mills of Minneapolis presents with pride Grand Central Station's traditional Christmas play, a drama you will long remember.
This is Galen Drake. And before we get into our Christmas story, I want to say just a word about the three top prize-winning recipes in Pillsbury's Grand National Recipe and Baking Contest. The grand prize was awarded for a recipe for Pillsbury's $50,000 no-knead water-rising twists. The second prize of $10,000 was for Starlight Mint Surprise Cookies. And the third prize of $4,000 was for a chocolate cake, Aunt Carrie's Bon Bon Cake. Now, there's $64,000 worth of prize-winning recipes. Recipes won with Pillsbury's Best Flour. Now, as you know, you always bake your best with Pillsbury's Best, and we have those three recipes ready for you now, and we'll be glad to send them to you. You just drop a penny postcard to N. Pillsbury, Prize Recipe Department, Minneapolis 2, Minnesota, and she'll send you your copy. N. Pillsbury, Prize Recipe Department, Minneapolis 2, Minnesota.
After the train from Albany pulled in, no one, not a single person, actually saw the young man with soft brown hair and soft brown eyes come through the gate. Still unseen, he walks the length of the great waiting room, now strangely tranquil as travel ebbs on Christmas Eve. Quietly, he goes out the door, down the street, and then up the broad marble stairs of the hospital. When the girl at the switchboard turns to him...
What can I do for you, sir?
Without saying a word, he gives her a card. She's startled by the name on it and instantly announces him to the hospital superintendent.
Dr. Mason is here to see you.
Mason? Dr. Mason who applied for an internship?
Yes, Dr. Garrett, it is Dr. Mason from Albany.
But that's impossible.
Shall I ask him about the telegram?
No, no, no. No, I'll do it. Send him in, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Garrett will see you, sir. First door to the left.
Dr. Garrett? Dr. Mason? You are Dr. Mason?
I'm sorry that I was delayed, Dr. Garrett.
Well, But just 10 minutes ago, I...
Yes. 10 minutes ago, you received a telegram.
Why, that's right.
I know.
From your mother.
I know.
But, man, Why, look at it. It says that you...
That I was killed. Do you mind if I tear up that telegram, Dr. Garrett?
Well, I don't understand. I was so unnerved by that wire. I'd counted so much on your being here tonight. Christmas Eve. A night always busy with calls.
You are short of interns.
Oh, yes. Mason, these are the slums. Walk through block after block and you won't see a doctor shingle. Not one. The people here are too poor. They know only one healer. The intern and his ambulance.
And tonight, night of mercy and goodwill, they would have cried out in vain.
Well, now that you've come, I won't have to say to the suffering, wait. Wait. There's only one ambulance tonight, and that's out on a call. Wait and suffer. I have no one to send to you because Dr. Mason was killed.
It's good that you're here, Mason. It's good. It's good to be here, Dr. Garrett.
Well, you better get started. Take this slip down to the storeroom. See that they give you a warm sheepskin coat.
Thank you.
And a pair of mittens. From there, you go to the ambulance room. I'll have your driver waiting for you. His name is Mac.
My name is Mac. The chief says I drive your crate tonight.
Crate?
Crate, jalopy, sick buggy, ambulance, take your pick.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You green interns, you're all the same. The first time you spy an ambulance, your eyes pop wide like you've seen a heavenly chariot or something. Not me. I've been driving this old baby for 8 rotten years.
An ambulance, Mac, is a sacred thing. It is a chariot of mercy.
Uh-oh, 2 bells, that says. Come on, Mason, that's your first call.
234 South Street. 234 South Street. 234 South Street.
Look, pal, help me out by watching out for cars cutting in at the cross streets. We don't stop for no red lights. Look, Doc, what did I tell you? Watch it or we'll both be killed. Holy cow, you new interns. You're all alike. You're always dreaming. You put on a white coat and pants and your head goes up in the clouds.
Why are you so bitter, Mac?
Why shouldn't I be bitter? If it wasn't for you, I'd be home with the wife right now.
You truly believe that only because of me...
Yeah. If you hadn't showed up, this ambulance would be parked in the garage, for crying out loud. I would have had the night off like on a decent job.
To you, driving an ambulance is just a job like any other?
Yeah, nothing but.
Boy, will I be glad when the shift is over.
But, Mac, this is Christmas Eve.
You're telling me.
This is one night at least you could forget that driving an ambulance is a job. This one night, you could look upon it as an errand of mercy.
An errand of mercy? You know where we're going?
To help someone afflicted.
Afflicted? Afflicted with alcohol, you mean? I'll give you 2-1 and we're making a stew call.
Stu called.
Yeah, Mason. We're risking our necks tearing through traffic to give some drunk a whiff of smelling salts.
Any man who cries out for help, whether he be brimful of drink or empty of blood, his call shall be answered.
Yes, says you. What did I tell you? No good truck. Here's your bag, Doc.
Thank you, Mac. I won't need it.
But he's out cold, Mason. Come on, give him a whiff of the stuff quick and we blow.
Quiet, Mac. Come now. Open your eyes, sir.
He calls the drunk, sir. Look, Mason, here's the spirit of ammonia. Hold it under his nose, will you? That always wakes him up.
Quiet, Mac. Come, sir. Open your eyes.
That's right, Mason. You just talk pretty to him and he'll open his eyes.
Where am I?
Where am I?
Why is everybody laughing? What's the matter?
Nothing, nothing. Just put your arm around my shoulder. That's it. Now, let me help you to stand up straight. There. Now.
You feel better?
Why, suddenly, I feel all right. I feel fine. My head is so clear.
Of course. All you needed was to stand on your own two feet. To be strong. Be of good cheer.
Gosh, Doc. That's sure wonderful medicine you give me.
Medicine? What kind of gag you pulling? He didn't give you no medicine. There was nothing the matter with you. You toss off a beer and you lay down in the street like you're out cold and we waste an ambulance on you. I got a mind to take a poke at you.
That'll be enough, Mac. Tell me, sir, what is your name?
Well, if it's all the same to you...
Come on. Give me your name. He's got to make out his report.
Pete Lanton, doctor.
Peter, you won't lose faith again. You will stand up, self-reliant, and you will face life courageously and with new hope.
Come on, Mason. We ain't got all night. Let's get going.
Doc.
Yes, Peter?
A Merry Christmas to you, Doc.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's the first portion of A Miracle for Christmas starring Mason Adams on Grand Central Station. A terrific program. We'll get back to it in just a minute. But first, these words. All right, it's our Christmas show here on the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, a little rock and roll. A little rock and roll there, Lisa.
Yeah, it's feeling very festive in here. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah. It's... What is this? What is this?
Thank the Kinks, thank me.
Oh, the Kinks. Wow, cool. Incandescent Lisa. What's going on, Incandescent Lisa?
I'm feeling like a light bulb, Carl.
Yeah, you are.
A burning, very bright light bulb.
Very burning light bulb.
Are you telling me I'm burning?
Oh, my gosh. We're going to get back to Grand Central Station in a minute. This is our 37th episode of the WGN Radio Theater here on the legendary 720 WGN. And beginning January 2nd, we're going to be on two nights a week. We're going to be here Saturday and Sunday nights from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. And you can find out all kinds of fun stuff about this show at our Facebook page. Just search WGN Radio Theater and you'll find our Facebook page. We put pictures of all the stars we play. And there's like trillions of pictures of Lisa and all different colors, shapes, and sizes.
I'm going to leave that alone.
And we want to build our likes. Like, you know what? I would love. Here's our Christmas present from our listeners to us, okay? We're playing these shows.
You like getting presents.
I do like getting
presents. Do you like giving them, Carl?
Yes. Okay. I like giving presents and I like getting presents. Here's a present, folks, that you can do for us. We want to get our likes over 1,000 by the end of the show. Is that possible?
We are so close. We're at 927, I think, last time I looked.
So we need 75 people, something like that, in that area, 73. Math wasn't my strong suit. So we need 73 people or more, because certainly we take more. Would you be one of those people out there? Would you go to Facebook and could you search for us, WGN Radio Theater, and like us? We really want to get over it. We want to get into
quadruple digits.
Four digits.
Carl's holding up four fingers right now in case you can't see.
Four fingers and a thumb. All right, so we want to get into quadruple digits. We're in triple, but we want quadruple. So please like us. We'd really like that. And you'll see a schedule there of all the shows we're playing. And I even posted the schedule for January 2nd, our first Saturday on WGN Radio Theater. So is that what they do, Mike? They just search?
Yes. Just go on to Facebook, WGN Radio Theater. Along with everything that Carl said, there's also a bunch of cat photos for the Cat's Pride contest that we do.
That's right.
And something interesting that happened this week, the Miracle on Jerry Wells Street audio drama that you, Carl, directed and Lisa, you acted in.
I posted tons of pictures.
There's tons of pictures from that. And if you missed it, there's also a link to hear the audio from that.
All right. Very cool. All right. Let's get back into this now. This is part two of A Miracle for Christmas starring Mason Adams on Grand Central Station.
Dr. Mason, Dr. Mason, I'd like to speak to you.
Yes.
Mason, Mac tells me you didn't even open your bag on your first call.
No, it wasn't necessary.
Well, now, don't misunderstand me, Mason. I can't begin to tell you how thankful I am that you're with us this evening, but...
But from now on, I'm not to use suggestion.
Or whatever it was you did use. Please follow standard materia medica in treating your cases. You're not offended.
Of course not.
Oh, that's fine, Dr. Mason. That's your call again.
19 Water Street, third floor. 19 Water Street, third floor.
Well, Mac, you seem to be good at guessing. You were right the last time. What sort of call is this one going to be?
It's no guessing, it's experience. This time it's no drunk.
Oh? What do you think it is?
A bite, or maybe a debt.
Christmas Eve. And someone is to live or die. It is better that one should live on Christmas Eve. Mac, let it be a birth we're going to.
It's no difference to me, Doc, a bite or a debt. I just drive.
How long have you been doing it, Mac?
Like I told you, 8 rotten years, that's how long.
What you call 8 rotten years were truly 8 glorious years, filled with service to your fellow men.
Cut the chatter, Mason, this is it. Number 19 at Fred Frick House upstairs. Come on, make a snap, it's third floor rear.
Doctor! Doctor, here! Up here!
Keep your shine on, we're coming.
Even if you hurry. Doctor...
Tears on Christmas Eve, young man.
I'm afraid you're too late.
You thought it'd be a point. You're wrong, Mason. It sure looks
Wait,
like...
Wait, Mac. Don't say it. No. Perhaps we're not too late. Tell me, how is the mother?
She's all right. But our baby...
Yes, your baby.
Crippled. Terribly crippled. We prayed for our child to be born on Christmas Eve. We thought we'd be so happy tonight.
Come. No tears. Not on Christmas Eve. I'll have a look at the infant. Wait here, both.
Make it snappy, Mason. Doc Garrett's always nervous when all the ambulances are out. It's only 9 o'clock. Hey, what's the idea of bringing the kid out here?
Oh, let me hold him, Doctor. Please.
Of course. There you are. Ah, the child knows his father.
Yes. He knows me. He knows me. But he'll hate me when he's old enough to realize it. Doctor!
Yes?
His arms. His arms.
What about the kid's arms?
They're straight. Straight as arrows.
So what?
But before, they were terribly twisted. Both his arms were terribly crippled.
You can see for yourself the child is normal.
But I tell you, before, when I looked at... I swear they were twisted. And now...
You were under great tension. Perhaps your imagination...
Yes. 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 Oh, my little son. Aren't his tiny fingers so tiny?
And now go in and tell your wife truthfully that her baby is normal in every way. Show her.
Yes. Yes.
You both look forward to a happy Christmas Eve. It is. Remember, tears are not for Christmas Eve.
Hey. Ah, come on, Mason. Forget all that good fairy stuff. This fella's hopped up enough as is. Let's go.
Yes, Mac.
Oh, doctor.
Yes?
Merry Christmas, doctor.
Thank you. A Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Mason! Dr. Mason!
Yes, Dr. Garrett, you've been looking for me?
Yes, I...
471 Archer Street.
Only one bell. Go on, Dr. Garrett.
Well, I must speak to you, Mason, about the telegram.
Yes?
The telegram which said that Dr. Mason was killed. The one you said was a mistake.
Did I, Dr. Garrett?
I've just spoken to the sender of that telegram. I have just finished talking to Dr. Mason's mother on the long-distance telephone.
That's my call. I'm sorry, I must go, Dr.
Now, wait, man, wait. I want to talk to you. Listen to me, please. Dr. Mason was killed. Do you hear? 3 hours before you walked into my office, he was killed while driving to the Albany Railroad Station. And his mother saw him die.
Well, Mac, what is this call going to be? A birth or a death?
I don't know, Mason, but I don't like this one. There's something about this call. Give me a funny chill all of a sudden.
Because it's in your neighborhood?
Ah. What do you think this call is going to be?
Because it is your wife.
Holly.
Is this job a rotten job, Mac? Now that you can rush a doctor to her side? Is this ambulance still a crate? Now that it's speeding to answer your own wife's cry of pain?
Stop that kind of talk, will you? You're trying to make me think something's happened, Ellie. I ain't afraid. I'll say it again. Yeah, driving this crate is still a job and a bum one at that.
And the 8 years?
Rotten years, wasted years. Could have had my own garage and repair business. I'd be in the chips today instead of...
Yes, you would have made more money.
Instead of risking my neck driving all night, twisting in and out of help pillars, skidding on slippery car tracks.
Why, Mac? Why did you do it?
How many times I gotta tell you that nothing in this whole cockeyed world could have kept me sitting back of this wheel except my wife. If it wasn't for Ellie,
what's the matter, Mac?
Nothing, I guess. That house we just passed, that was ours. And the lights are out.
Is that unusual?
No. It just means Ellie ain't home. She's probably gone down to the corner as far as the drugstore. Yeah, Ellie walks the dog there every night about this time. And...
Yes, Mac?
The call we're going to is that drugstore.
Yes, Mac.
Mason, you got a hunch what it is? Tell me what it is.
It is not a birth, Mac.
Let me through! Let me through! I got it! Ellie! It's Ellie! Mason, do something! You gotta do something! Please! Please!
We will take her to the hospital, Mac. Come, let's get ready. The next call will be ours.
812 East River Road.
Yes, you heard. The other ambulance just went out.
Are you crazy?
My wife is upstairs in the operating room, and you expect me to leave the hospital to go out and drive?
There are people who need us, Mac. Our work tonight is not yet finished.
But Ellie needs me. What do I care about other people?
There are people, Mac, who will cry out for help, as your wife did. We will answer.
Not me. I ain't moving.
It is Christmas Eve, Mac.
Christmas Eve. What a Christmas present I got.
64 West Street.
It's our turn, Mac.
64 West Street.
All right, Mason. But this is my last trip for the night. No, not for the night. Forever. I'm through, do you hear? All washed up. For good.
I'm terribly sorry, Mac. We did the best that we could.
Dying? Ellie's dying? And I...
She asked for you, Mac. Just once. It was while you were out on that West Street call. Then she lapsed into coma.
Ellie? Ellie? Isn't there a chance, Doc Garrett?
I doubt it.
While I'm out with the crate, my wife calls for me, and now she's unconscious. Think of others. Think of others, he said, because it's Christmas Eve. What do you got to say now, Mason? You took me from her. You made me go out and drive that rotten ambulance while she...
You went to help others, to bring aid to the suffering.
A lot of consolation, that is.
Remember how the old woman blessed you, with tears in her eyes.
Oh, I can't think of nothing but Ellie's gone. You with your big ideas and your fine speeches. What do you know about sorrow and suffering?
All that there is to know, my son.
Just now when you said that for a second, you got old. You look more than 1,000 years old.
I must be seeing things on account Ellie is leaving me, and I'm crazy. Crazy with grief and sorrow.
Grief and sorrow for you. Yet how much you did to relieve others of that pain.
It's funny, Mason, but...
Yes, Mac.
When you said those words, I thought of my 8 years. The 8 rotten years. And they didn't seem so bad. Not anymore. Now I kind of like them.
Sorrow worketh repentance. You should, Mac. You should glory in them. 8 years of bringing a healer to the suffering. 8 years of rushing the torn and the smashed to the hands of the mender.
Your words, they just take the pain right out of me. They just draw it out.
Now that your work for this night is finished, Mac, I will walk home with you.
Go home? While Elliot...
Yes.
Okay, if you say so, Mason. But for the life of me, I don't know why I'd take your word. What a break. What a rotten break I got on Christmas Eve.
You love her a great deal, don't you?
Yeah.
Soon, it will be midnight.
A Merry Christmas.
How did she greet you each night when you returned from your driving?
How did Ellie greet... Why do you ask that, Mason?
Tell me, Mac. I want you to say it.
Well, she...
Tell me.
She's like a happy, anxious kid. She'd go out and put on a porch light. Didn't matter even if the weather was terrible. I used to bawl her out for it. Tell her she'd catch pneumonia.
But she'd always put on a porch light and stand outside there, waiting for...
Waiting for her shining knight returning from his errands of mercy.
As soon as she'd see me come around the next corner, she'd call to me.
And now, will you continue your driving?
Yeah. I'm sticking to it, Mason. Even though Ellie won't be around, I'm sticking.
This is your corner.
Yeah.
Look to your house, my son.
The light. Our porch light. It's on. Mason. Your eyes. Mason. Mason. Where are you?
Look to your house, my son.
It can't be!
Mac!
It's Ellie! Ellie, darling, it is you!
Mac!
Thank God! Thank God! And forgive me, I did not know who you were.
You have just heard the 6th annual Pillsbury presentation of Grand Central Station's traditional Christmas drama.
There you have it. What do you think of that? You like that?
Yes, I did. And I like that. The organ and the harp and all live music is very nice.
A Miracle for Christmas, December 24th, 1949, Mason Adams in Grand Central Station. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Hour 2, WGN Radio Theater Christmas Show. This is our 37th week on the air. Lisa Wolf, Mike Costello, Dan Long. That's the team here. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, we were just saying to Dan a little while ago, we're hoping to do this show until we're old and gray.
But I already am old and gray.
You already am, but still.
I am.
And, well, you're not totally gray.
No, this is true. I have like 3 strands of black hair still. You know, but
yeah, but after doing the show a few weeks, that black may be turning gray just as well.
I hear you. You know what else is we want to announce? That we're going to be here Saturday nights as well as Sunday nights beginning January 2nd. So WGN management said, hey, how'd you like to do a second show in during the week?
And Lisa and I didn't jump too fast.
No, we were just like, yeah.
That's
we'll do
pretty
that.
Much how it went.
So Saturday nights, 11 till 2, and Sunday nights, 11 to 2, beginning January 2nd. We can't wait for that. And we are playing Christmas shows on this edition because Friday is Christmas. Thursday's Christmas Eve, right? And Friday is Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all the other things out there, right?
Right.
Okay.
We'll just take it all.
All right, we're going to listen to an episode of Suspense, a good Christmas show from 1955 in this hour. In our third hour this morning, it'll be Boston Blackie in a Christmas show called Stolen Rings at Christmas Time. But right now, it's time for our sponsors segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actress stars with Glenn Close in the upcoming film Anesthesia, which follows a group brought together after a Columbia University professor becomes the victim of a violent mugging.
Okay, so the celebrity that Lisa's talking about starred in the Twilight Saga series, and here's a clip of her from the 2011 Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn.
Well, I can see what everyone's been talking about. Jake, you really do stink.
All right. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Name that celebrity, and you'll win two tickets to see Baritones Unbound at the Royal George Theater. Two tickets. Call us, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back with a Christmas edition of the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's hear that movie clip again.
Well, I can see what everyone's been talking about. Jake, you really do stink.
We have Joan on the line from Milwaukee. Hi, Joan.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, it's Jill. It's Jill.
Oh, Jill, I'm sorry. Dan, okay. Dan's bad. It's Jill. Jill, who is that in the Twilight Saga who's also going to be in the upcoming movie Anastasia?
Kristen Stewart.
Yes, indeed. That is Kristen Stewart. And you are a winner. You have won two tickets to see a terrific show. It's called Baritones Unbound. It's playing right now at the Royal George Theater. And it's a trio of Broadway and international opera stars. And it sounds terrific. And I hope that you enjoy that. It's running through January 3rd, 2016. And check it out at theroyalgeorgetheater.com, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
Good. Thank you for calling in.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for tuning in to the WGN.
It's not Joan. It's Jill.
Jill. Oh, my gosh. It's Jill.
It's Jill.
Jill, Merry Christmas to you. And don't change your name. You should just...
I like Jill.
You know, just roll with Jill, and we'll call you Joan.
That's right. We're a little slow to...
So thanks for listening. All right. So this is the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa Wolf is here to my right, Mike Estella in front of me here, and then Dan Long in the booth. And we're playing Christmas shows on our Christmas program. And we have an episode of Suspense. We play a lot of suspense on the WGN Radio Theater. Why is that? Well, because Suspense, in my opinion, was the best mystery dramatic program of the golden age of radio. And our job here on the WGN Radio Theater is to play the best of the best. Now, we will play obscure things, too, but we like to play Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel and Suspense and Inner Sanctum, the best shows of the golden age of radio. All of your favorites are played here on Sunday nights and soon to be on Saturday and Sunday nights. And if you want to hear something special, just contact us through Facebook. We have a Facebook page. It's WGN Radio Theater. And a little earlier in the show, I asked our listeners to give us a Christmas present by going to our Facebook page and liking us. And we had a lot of likes. A lot of people did that. We still need more, though. It's almost like a telethon. We're doing like a drive, right? We want to get to the end of the show and be over 1,000 likes.
Well, we're not asking for money.
No. So, we're not asking for...
So it's a little bit different. But not only do we want you to like us, but we want to hear from you. We want to know what you'd like to hear. And we want, you know, comments and suggestions. We'd love to, you know, get some feedback because it makes our show better.
Yeah,
so we appreciate that.
Absolutely. We want to hear what you want to play, us to play. If you want to hear a certain show, Jack Benny or Burns and Allen... You know, Gunsmoke, Gildersleeve, Fib McGee and Molly, whatever it is, let us know and we will play it for you. Yes?
Yeah, I was just going to add to that Nick DiGilio has asked for the Bickersons.
Oh,
and I said,
right.
Yes, we will play that
he
for you.
He wants Don Ameche and Francis Langford.
And you know why he did that?
He likes them.
He likes them, but also because he thinks that you and I
are like the Bickersons.
Kind of like the Bickersons. And he said, you guys kind of remind me of the Bickersons. Have you played them yet on the show? And I said, I don't think we've played them
here yet. Well,
we'll
have to do that. The Battling
Bickersons.
So in
honor of Nick.
Yes, we will. And one more quick reminder. Please send in a picture of you and your kitty cat to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. If you do that, you should do that right away because Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cats Pride, will be in here next week, and he's going to draw out another name that is going to win a year's supply of Cats Pride kitty litter because Cats Pride is one of our sponsors here on the WGN Radio Theater. We do this every month. Dan Jaffe comes in, gives away a year's supply of Cats Pride kitty litter. How do you enter? Just send a picture of you and your cat to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. And please put your name and your cat's name and your city and state. You'll be automatically entered. The pictures appear on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. Right, Mike?
That is correct.
Okay. I cover everything?
I think you did a lot of talking. Let's
get
back.
Did all the...
It's
got it all
time
out of
for
the way
suspense here.
Yeah, let's tune this in. All right, Suspense. as I say, one of the best mystery series of all time. It started on radio in 1942, ran all the way to 1962, almost 1,000 radio broadcasts. It was billed as radio's outstanding theater of thrills, and they were suspenseful thrillers starring the biggest names in Hollywood. And I can't say enough about it, so let's just listen to it. Let's go back to 1955, December 20th to be exact. This is called The Cave. It stars with stars a guy that I got to work with, Richard Beals. We flew Richard Beals in. He was Speedy Alka-Seltzer. He was a little person, okay? And he played a lot of kids on radio.
A little person in height?
He was a little person.
An actual little person.
Oh, okay. Okay, like
I gotcha.
And he played kids. He was an adult, but he played kids on radio, a lot like Walter Tetley did on Gildersleeve.
Right.
And I flew Richard Beals into Chicago, and we did a radio production with him, and he was amazing. I mean, to work with a real radio guy from those days, he was just so much fun to work with. And he appears in this story called The Cave, also in the cast, Ben Wright and Billy Chapin and Hans Connery, John Daner, Lawrence Dobkin, and Raymond Lawrence, a lot of great veteran actors there. This is heard on CBS. Part one now of The Cave on Suspense.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, in answer to many requests, we bring back a charming fantasy about a small boy who discovered a new world and lived forever after in its enchantment. We call it The Cave. It's on days like this that I remember how it used to be before I found The Cave. This day in particular. Of course, it's hard to see everything as it really was. Time has a habit of distorting the memories. Memories. Christmas. Christmas Day. What a long time ago that was. I was 10, and an unpopular uncle had distinguished himself by giving me a flashlight. It was enormous. 4 batteries, and a most incredible gleam to its metal case. I couldn't wait to try it out. And because it was still early afternoon, I could think of only one place that was dark enough for the exciting test. The cave. The big cave, whose mouth was near the sand dunes, and whose recess was rumored to be miles deep. George Fennell and I had never ventured more than 200 yards or so inside. But on that Christmas afternoon, I knew that the cool darkness of the cave would have no fears for George and me. We met near the dunes, as arranged, to compare notes on our respective Christmas presents. It was quite warm, and the snow was beginning to melt in patches. A few gulls were wheeling about nearby. It was as I have remembered it all my life.
That's keen. Listen, I'd better work like a searchlight tonight.
I guess it would, all right.
Maybe they'll let us stay up tonight if it doesn't get too cold, and we could play the pirate. I could use my new gun.
I thought we might go in the cave this afternoon.
Hey, that's Keen. Uh-oh. Maybe they'll get sore. I had to get all dressed up today.
We won't get dirty. Besides, we could go a real long way inside with this.
I wouldn't want to go in too far. They say the cave goes off in a lot of tunnels. We could get lost.
Maybe if you haven't got a flashlight.
Sure, that's right. And with my gun... Sure, we can explore. Come on. I'll race you to the cave.
I won the race, and we stood at the entrance of the big cave. The arch had a span of about 25 feet, but just inside it widened until the walls were 70 feet apart and the ceiling over 50. As we passed from sunlight to shadow, I turned for a moment and looked down to the sea. At the water's edge, a gull stood, motionless, looking up at us. Then, solemnly, as though with disapproval, It too turned about and gazed out over the water. The opening of the cave receded and became small, and we went deeper and deeper.
Hey, shine it up there, Dan. Way up.
Okay.
Gee, I'll bet that's high.
Well, a mile, I guess.
You're silly. Maybe 100 feet. Boy, that's keen. Sounds like a real gun.
Come on. Looks like the cave turns down there. See?
Okay, but we better not go too far.
You scared?
Heck no, but, well, I gotta get back for dinner. They'll be awful sore if I'm late.
You won't be late. Come on. I want to see what's around there.
Okay. Hold the light on my gun. I gotta reload. Fish? Whoever heard of fish in a stream like this?
Where'd they come from?
Where?
I don't know. They say there are fish in caves sometimes. Blind fish.
You're silly.
What are you stopping for, George?
We gotta go back now.
Why?
Because it's late. Maybe we could get lost.
Listen, George, maybe if we kept on going, we'll find treasure in here.
Treasure?
Stands to reason. Maybe like in the pirate book. Somebody came here and buried treasure. Henry Morgan or somebody.
No.
Sure, stands to reason. Everybody's like you. They say no, but just suppose. If no one's looked, how would they know?
I think we better get back. Maybe tomorrow we can look. The cave's getting awful narrow.
We might even find old pirates' bones and swords.
You've got too much imagination. I heard him saying so at home. I don't want to go any further.
Well, I'm going to.
Okay, give me the flashlight.
No. You want to go back? You go back. In the dark.
Oh, I don't want to go back. You go back in the dark. They'll be mad. It's late.
Well, just for a little while. If we don't find anything, we'll go back.
All right. But only a little while.
Well, I'm thirsty.
You better not drink out of that water. It's probably poison.
Oh, why? Here, hold the light. I'm going to have a drink.
There you are. See? I told you. Now you'll probably die. It's poison.
No. No, it's salt. It's like the ocean.
Hey, look.
What?
There, coming down the stream. That white thing.
Yeah.
Looks like a piece of paper.
I'm going to get it. Hold on to my hand.
You'll fall in.
No. I got it.
What is it?
Looks like a handkerchief.
That's silly. It's too small. Who uses a handkerchief like that?
Well, my mother does.
Gee, hate to blow my nose on that. You can almost see through it.
How'd it get down here?
Who cares?
Maybe it's a message.
Huh?
Like from someone in distress.
I'm going home.
Like a damsel in distress in the pirate book. We've got to find out. Give me my flashlight. We'll follow the stream.
We followed the stream. We walked by it as the cave twisted and curved. We didn't notice the passageway, which had been getting smaller all the time, suddenly widen out, and the stream, which was becoming a river, and the river, the river.
Hey!
What?
Where's the other side of the water?
There isn't any. It keeps going. It's like a lake.
Or maybe a sea. There's little waves.
Dan?
Huh?
Turn the light around.
The walls have gone. There's no walls.
There must be. It's a cave.
Hey, there's no top to it either.
It's just too high to see, that's all. Let's go home. Let's go home right now.
Oh, what are you afraid of?
I'm not. But I'm hungry, and it's Christmas. And, well, I've got things to play with. Come on, Dan. Come on. I want to get outside. What'd you do that for? Turn on the light. Turn it on.
Don't you notice something?
Turn that on. Give it to me.
No, wait a minute. I want you to see something.
Don't turn it back on. I'm not going to play with you.
See what you've done? You dropped it in the water.
It's all your fault. I didn't want to come here anyway. How are you going to get back? It's dark.
No, it isn't. That's what I wanted you to see. Look up there.
I don't see anything.
You will. Oh, it's like stars. Way, way up there. That's what it is. It's stars.
Yeah, you know, it's like my teeth are like stars. Did you know that, Lisa?
They twinkle?
No, they come out at night.
Your teeth? You're scary.
Yeah. They put them in a jar.
And they come out at night?
They come out at night, yes. Anyway, that is the first portion of the cake.
I just got it. Sorry.
Lisa's a little slow.
I don't think people do that anymore.
For a woman with two master's degrees, she's pretty slow.
My grandma used to do that. Take out her teeth at night and drop it in the poly dents.
I know.
You know that my grandma used to do that?
No, I didn't know your I didn't know your grandmother. Okay. Was she a Mrs. Matanky?
Was it
your dad's mom?
It was.
Okay,
they both did that.
Mrs. Matanky.
They both had teeth that they took out.
Yeah. Well,
people don't do that as much anymore.
Well, not as much.
We have better health, better oral hygiene, I think. We know to take care of our teeth.
Yeah, we have floss now.
We have floss and power flossers.
Power flossers.
We have
tongue cleaners.
Tongue cleaners and... I just said
You just following everything I'm saying? It's just saying what I say?
Well, you did buy the tongue cleaner first, and I did follow suit.
Right. So here's how it worked. So Lisa,
I started with the power flosser.
2 years ago, she's like, I bought a power flosser. I'm like, what's that? She's like, oh, Waterpik power flosser. You have to have one. And I'm like, okay, buy me one, because she knows I'm crazy about my oral hygiene. And so she went and bought me one, and I cannot believe I've lived... 51 years without one.
I understand.
And I use it every single day and sometimes twice a day.
I know, me too.
To go along with the flossing. You floss in the morning. I floss at night. You do it the opposite way, right?
No, I use the power flosser in the morning.
That's what I do, yeah.
And I have like a flossing thing that I use at night.
And then I carry a toothbrush everywhere I go.
We both do.
In my briefcase.
Well, you need it.
Well, I'm on the radio. I don't want to offend you, Lisa,
exactly.
Because we're talking a lot.
We're talking a lot.
And enough about that.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah, so that's good.
There? Okay.
So this is the first portion of Suspense, The Cave, Richard Beals' star, along with Ben Wright, Billy Chapin, Ellen Morgan, Hans Conried, John Daner. Terrific cast. Going back to 1955. You know, back in 1955... people were abandoning radio drama, and they were all into television at this point. They were like, what's radio drama, right? Well, we're bringing it back. It's what we're doing here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, let's take a break, and then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. More Christmas music. I love it. Dan is the best in the business. Dan Long in the booth, picking the Christmas music for our Christmas show here on the WGN Radio Theater.
I wish it could be Christmas every week here. It's fun here.
I know. We got cookies. We have brownies.
We have decorations.
We had presents.
Did you say we have cookies and brownies, Carl?
Yeah, we do.
To share?
And they're good.
Are you going to share
them? They're really good. Yes, I would share
them. Excellent.
And so I got a Christmas present from Lisa. I got a Christmas present from Mike. And we all gave a Christmas present to Dan. I did not give Lisa or Mike a Christmas present yet. I apologize. I have not gone Christmas shopping yet.
That's okay. You could just want to wait till the sales till after Christmas, right?
No. I'll let's see. Well, I won't see you guys before Christmas, but I promise you it'll be a nice present.
Well, I'm going to be waiting for it.
I'm a pretty good Christmas present giver.
You're actually an excellent
gift
giver.
Okay.
This is true.
So just give me, it was a little crazy week. I didn't have a chance. I know that's really not a good excuse, but I'm not trying to get out of it.
It'll be bigger and better.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get out of it. Lisa gave me a really nice, cool Tumi wallet. Very nice, Lisa.
Thanks,
wow.
Carl.
I'm impressed.
Yeah?
Yeah, and a little surprised.
Oh, and surprised that it's that nice.
The how nice it is. No, I'm kidding. And Mike got a similar one, right, Mike?
Yes,
so,
I did. Thank
nice
you, Lisa.
Job.
Thanks,
nice
guys.
Job, Lisa.
Well, I appreciate you both.
Yeah, I know you
I do.
We appreciate you too.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate all the hard work and all the starving of your children you do to do the work for this show. Lisa doesn't cook for her kids. She doesn't clean. She doesn't do anything. She's too dedicated to the show.
Well, I do clean, but not cook.
Really? No.
I do like a clean house cooking. And
they're like, Mom, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
What's your answer?
Go find something.
Yeah, there's something in the refrigerator.
So there's always food there.
I'm working on the show.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Leave me alone.
That's right.
And what about Christmas parties? Mike, you going to a Christmas party this week?
Denise and I will be at her parents' house by day, and mm-hmm. then we will be at my parents' house in the evening. And on Christmas Eve, we're going to meet up with a bunch of friends. And
nice.
You know.
I have a little bit of an announcement.
What?
Just to let everybody know, I'm going to take 1 week off.
Oh.
So I won't be
what
here
a
for the
slacker.
I won't be here for the WGN Radio Theater next Sunday. But then I will be back the next week.
Why did you have to do that? Now we're going to have no listeners now.
No, they'll listen, but they'll just be missing, you know, the fun part. That's all.
And Dan Long, you have a Christmas party to be going to this week at all?
Yeah, just you know, typical family stuff, okay. And then I'll bring it on in here. On the mighty 720, I'll finish off Christmas from 11 to 2.
Wow.
That's right. You're going to work Christmas on Friday? You're working 11 to 2?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think Jen Bosworth will be in, so we're working on putting the show together now.
Oh,
so
very, very cool. All
is
right.
That your way of getting out of Christmas with the family?
No, he's going to do that prior, right?
I'm doing both.
Okay.
Got to keep it pretty clean at the party.
Double duty. Okay, let's get back into this now. Is the conclusion to The Cave, starring Richard Beals, on Suspense.
We stood there, George and I, 10 years old, and for a moment, no longer afraid because of the wonder of the thing. There was light from a sky I knew I had never seen before. Yet I knew I was still in the big cave, because when I spoke, the echo of my voice returned.
It's beautiful. I can't find the flashlight. The water's too deep.
That's funny.
You're always saying that. It's not going to be funny when you can't get home.
Listen. Dan! Dan!
Now you do it. What for? It's just an old echo.
Go on.
George! George!
There. How can there be an echo when there's no cave anymore?
You're just trying to scare me. Well, I'm going. You can come too if you want. Dan, please?
I'll bet nobody's ever been in here ever. I'll bet we're the first. Except for pirates, maybe. Oh, I wish we could see more.
If my mother hadn't taken our matches away, we could find our way out. Gee, Dan, it's night. Come on, please. I'm hungry.
Shh.
Somebody's here. Somebody else.
Sounds like it's over there.
No, don't go, Dan. Dan, I'm scared. I don't like this place.
Well, go home if you want. I can see someone. Look.
Gee.
He's digging in the sand.
Don't. Let's not go any closer, Dan.
Let go of me. I want to see what he's doing.
No, no. Look.
There's some other people. They got swords.
Aha! I caught you, Nambi, you scurvy wretch. Look at him, bully.
No, don't be careful. I just wanted to see if the treasure was still there. Struth, I mean.
I'll show you what's there, you pot-belly toad.
No! I wasn't touching the treasure. Don't kill me.
Kill you? I haven't started to kill you yet, Nambi. Come on, bullies, lay on. We'll exercise our appetites for the feast.
In that faint light from the stars of another world, the world of the big cave, George and I watched. We could only see shadows until someone lit a lantern. And then I knew I'd been right.
Pirates! Pirates! I want to go home.
Pirates they were, the most glorious, the gaudiest pirates to sail under the Jolly Roger. The leader was a huge man with a fine, bushy beard and a voice like the trombone in the village band.
How shall we cook him, bullies? Broiled or steamed?
No, Captain, no, no!
Now he's too tough a morsel for that, Captain. I says roast him.
Roast it'll be. There's nothing like roast, Mandy. I always say so.
But we'll cut out his heart first and feed it to the dog. Nambi, you lily-livered aggravation. Say your prayer.
He's going to kill him. I don't want to watch, Dan. Dan, shut up.
Shh. Who was that?
I don't know, Captain.
Sounded like a boy.
A boy? A boy?
Mayhap it was the Lady Alicia.
Will she be in the dungeon, Gonfalon?
Aye, that's true.
Came from over there. Hold the lantern high, Sheriff.
Aye, Captain.
They'll get us, Dan. We've got to run. Don't be afraid. If you're not afraid, nothing can happen.
Do you see anything, Gonfalon?
Oh, nout, but... save us all. Tis a boy.
Nay, tis two on them.
Scumper me. Boy.
Hey, help, 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 help.
Hold the little demon. That's it. Boys. Two small boys.
And now what shall we do with him, Captain?
Hang him, I'll say. Aye. Hang him. Maybe after the treasure.
You! Were it not Christmas, Nambi, I should have turned you inside out. Hold your blister bladdering jaw, you.
Aye, Captain, sir. Aye.
Boy, what's your name?
Dan Embry, sir.
And that one?
He's my friend, George. George Fennel. His father's a policeman.
Where do you come from, boy?
Greenfield. That's outside the cave.
Cave? What cave? What do you do here? Whose spies be? Answer up now.
We were just exploring, and we got here, that's all.
Exploring? Where be your ship?
We didn't come in a ship.
No ship?
They're boys, Captain. What harm can they do? Come, it's Christmas. I say feed them and send them on their way.
What's Christmas got to do with it? If they be spies, it's the plague.
No, we're not spies, honest.
We look into this further. Meantime, the goose and suckling pig should be ready. I say it's time for the feast. How say you, buddy? Be a hungry boy.
Yes.
And him.
He's hungry, too.
Then join us in a Merry Christmas. For no man can say Captain Blackton lacks the Christian spirit. Am I right, Nambi?
Oh, you're right, Captain. Right as a rail.
I'd have slit your gullet if you said me nay. Merry Christmas and break out the rum.
I remember that day, that long ago. The great dining board set upon trestles, the fruits and wine, roast goose and pig, the pirates rough in their colorful patched clothing, the songs and drinking, stories of home and sea. Such Christmases I dreamt of, and I had dreamed it to come true. George sat next to me, eyes wide and unbelieving. After the plum pudding, we were called upon to sing a carol. As we sang, they became quiet, and each sat lost with his own thoughts of sweetness and sadness. The little man, Nambi, bird-like and asleep. Gonfalon, thin as a twig, a patch over one eye, the other kindly and wise. Shill and the captain, tears coursing down their cheeks. These were my pirates, my own.
Well done. A dollop of rum for the boy.
Captain, this been a happy day with us. Let's share it with those less fortunate.
Less fortunate? Who? We are all well met.
That Lady Alicia.
Nay, she be our prisoner. And until ransom be paid, so she will remain.
Oh, what matter if she grace our table for the evening? It's been a long time since a woman has been with us.
Very well. Send the prisoner here. Fetch her from the dungeon.
Then I thought of the fine lace handkerchief we had found in the stream. Would this prisoner, the Lady Alicia, would she have sent the message of distress? And how? They brought her in, and to me, she looked as she should have looked, the most beautiful lady in the world, gowned in silks, with a pale but proud face. I fell in love with her, and I was 10. As the night wore on, the pirates grew drowsy, and one after another, their heads drooped, and soon all were asleep. Even George, sitting small in his great chair, nodded. I went to the Lady Alicia's side.
It was your handkerchief we found in the stream, wasn't it?
Yes, I had not dared to hope.
But they have you locked in a dungeon.
Beyond my window is a running brook. I prayed that when I dropped the kerchief, it would by some happy chance be discovered.
Well, I found it all right.
You are very brave to have come here.
Well, how long have they kept you prisoner?
6 months now. We were sailing to the Indies. Our ship was taken, and I alone survived. Now they hold me for ransom.
Oh, that's terrible. Gosh, I wish I could do something to save you.
There is nothing.
I know I'm not very big, but maybe I could fight them.
Oh, they are too many for you.
Dad, they're all asleep. Come on, we can get away now. Let's go home.
Home?
Sure. Our folks are going to be mad.
Oh, George, we've got to save her.
If you could but escape and deliver a message to my father.
Sure, okay. Where does he live?
London. Lord Basingstoke. He would reward you well.
Sure, but we gotta go now.
I don't want to leave you. They'll be angry when they wake up.
My hope will rest in you. I shall pray for your safety and return.
Gee whiz, Dan, come on.
You go ahead. I'll be right along.
Okay, but hurry up. I'll wait by the water.
Will you be all right?
Yes.
Suppose I come back and you're not here.
I shall try to leave a message.
I'm Dan.
I know.
When I get older, I shall marry you. You're beautiful.
I'll wait for you. Now you must go before they awake.
I don't want to go.
You will come back to me. Here.
I love you.
Hurry up, Dan. Gee whiz. I want to get home. They'll be mad. Mother said not to be late for dinner.
We've got to save Lady Alicia. Don't forget.
Okay. But hurry up.
It's kind of dark, but I know which way to go.
I don't want to fall in a stream and get all wet. I've got my good clothes on.
You won't.
I'm sorry I dropped your flashlight in. I'll save up and get you another.
I don't mind.
I'll bet it's awful late. I'm glad it's Christmas. Maybe they won't mind.
We followed the tunnels one to the other. The stream flowed with us, urging us on. It was dark, but I knew the way. We felt along the damp walls of the cave, and at every step we moved further away from my world. Suddenly, from a great distance, we saw a tiny circle of light, a dot which grew and grew until it was the size of a golden sovereign.
There it is, Dan. It's the entrance, and it's still light out. I won't be late for dinner.
And I was afraid. I was afraid because I knew that when I stepped out into that sunlight, I should never be able to find my way back again. Never.
Hey, what are you stopping for? Why?
George?
If we can run, we can make it home before the sun goes down. For Pete's sakes, Dan, what's the matter with you?
I'm not coming with you. I've got to go back.
Go back? What do you want to do that for?
I've got to. I don't want to leave her. The pirates. I want to go back.
Pirates? Who?
The Lady Alicia.
Gee whiz, Dan, come on. It's only a game. Come on.
You've forgotten. I knew you would. I'm not going with you.
You better. I'll tell your mother, and you get it.
Goodbye, George.
Dan? Dan, come back, Dan. What's the matter with you? Dan? You'll get lost, Dan. Dan, don't go in there. We played like...
I had turned away from George and the speck of light that was outside. His voice had followed me, plaintive and lonely. Then, as I found the stream again, there was no sound but that of gentle water and my own steps. And the stream became a river, and the river broadened, the walls of the cave fell away, and I'd found my pirates again. It's on days like this that I remember how it used to be before I found the cave. This day in particular. Sometimes I wonder what happened to George and what it's like outside the cave. But I don't really mind. After all, the Lady Lysia kept her promise and waited for me until I grew up. Now everything is as I'd always dreamed it in the books. Oh, Captain Blackton? He's still here. A little less ferocious, perhaps, than 20 years ago.
Captain?
Yes, Blackton?
If you and m'lady are ready, sir, the turkeys be cooked and the men wait in your pleasure.
Very well, Blackton. Thank you. And a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, sir. And a Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Suspense, in which Richard Beals with Billy Chapin starred in tonight's presentation of The Cave. Suspense is produced and directed by Anthony Ellis, who also wrote tonight's script. The music was composed by Rene Garrigan and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Hans Conried, Ben Wright, Lawrence Dobkin, Ellen Morgan, and Raymond Lawrence.
There you have it. Suspense, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Christmas show called The Cave from December 20th, 1955, starring Richard Beals along with Billy Chapin as the two boys on that. You heard Hans Conried in the cast, John Daner doing the announcing, and Lawrence Dobkin in the cast as well, as heard on CBS. Hope you enjoyed Suspense. This is the WGN Radio Theater. It's our Christmas show, and it's episode 37. We've been on 37 weeks, Lisa. Not bad.
No.
We're still here.
We're still here.
That's
it's a good
thing.
Sign. And
yeah.
We have no...
We're not turning back.
No. We're just going to keep plowing ahead here.
That's right. We started out 37 weeks ago on Sunday nights, 11 to 2, and a few weeks ago, Todd Manley, the vice president of programming here at WGN, said, hey, how would you two like to do Saturday nights at 11 o'clock till 2 in the morning as well? And we jumped at the chance. So starting January 2nd, Lisa and I and Mike Estella will be here and we'll be doing the WGN Radio Theater on Saturdays and not or both, and Sunday nights. So we're here two nights, 11 till 2 in the morning. We're really thrilled about it.
Yes, we got 6 hours instead of 3 hours.
That's
of
right.
Classic
they
radio.
Doubled our time. And all of the things are going to be the same, the WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. You can just go to that, see our entire schedule on our website. Yeah, that's where we have our website, WGNRadioTheater.com. Go to our website, and you will see our schedule. And if you click through to the main website, you'll see there's a store. You can get 10 free classic radio shows. There's all kinds of fun stuff at the main site as well.
And we appreciate when you go to our Facebook page, not only if you like us, but let us know how we're doing. Give us any comments and suggestions, and we like to always make our show better, and we do appreciate your feedback.
That's right, and let us know what you want to hear. And I asked a couple of times, and we had like, what, 30 people like us in the last couple of hours. We still need about another, what?
10,000.
No, to get to 1,000, because when we get to 1,000, we're gonna do a celebration. We're going to do something special
we're
on the air.
We're going to have a party?
Yeah, we're going to play some special shows, special party, and
I like parties,
I'll bring
Carl.
In some food or something like that.
Or something.
So we need more likes. We're up to what?
Right now, we need 40 to get to 1,000.
All right. So
your math skills are
folks.
Up to par?
Yes, absolutely.
We can make this happen tonight, right?
I think so.
We've got 40 more people that would go
Dan, do you like us?
You mean on Facebook or just in general?
No, I meant on Facebook.
Actually, no, I don't.
See,
I don't
that's
think
what
I
I'm
do.
Saying. I think we got one right here behind the glass.
All right, so we I
all right,
think
here's one coming up.
All right, I definitely think there's 40 of our listeners.
We only need 39 now.
That would give us a Christmas present, right? And go and like us on Facebook. I'm not above begging. I will beg. I will put the microphone lower and I'll get on my knees and I will beg.
I don't really want to see that.
Because we want to be into four digits. We want to be 1000 by the end of the night. We want 1,000 likes.
All right, we're working on it. We've got one more hour to go. It's a challenge.
So please go to your Facebook page, like us, WGN Radio Theater. And all right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll tell you what we're going to play in the next hour here on the WGN Radio Theater. Hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. Mike, could you please wake Lisa up over there in the corner in the fetal position?
Are you kidding me?
She's sleeping away, snoring logs.
Okay. Do you want me to start up and tell them what you do
during
like the radio shows?
Sounded like a lumber yard over there.
I have evidence of you snoring.
Really?
So you better be careful over there.
Why? How do you have evidence
it's
of me snoring?
It's on my phone.
Oh, yeah. The other, okay. Last week, was it last week?
Yes, it was.
There was a long break. I was really tired. I took a little cat nap, and Lisa...
In the green room,
in the
on
green
the couch.
Room. Lisa went in there with her pocket phone and recorded me breathing heavily, not snoring.
It was...
I was breathing heavily.
All right, you call it what you will. It was snoring.
I just heard you. You were like...
Yeah, I was laughing too hard.
Sounded like something, like an alien
landed. I wasn't sleeping. I was recording.
Sounded like Godzilla.
Yeah,
remember when Godzilla was crushing the city? And that's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Man, poor Dan, your husband. Not Dan Long. There's a lot of
poor
Dan.
Poor Dan Long.
So there's Dan Long, who is our producer. And then there's Dan Wolf, who is Lisa's husband. Poor Dan Wolf.
What? You mean
Wolf.
We're not married?
People think Lisa and I are married. And there's one of the two of us that wishes that was true. And
that's right.
And that one is sitting across from me.
That would be you.
But Dan Wolf, poor Dan Wolf, he has to listen to that snoring every night?
I don't snore.
You should have your uvula clipped. That's what you do.
Of your mind?
Just clip your uvula. That's all you gotta do.
Out of your mind?
It's a simple surgery. It's like an outpatient.
If you're not nice, I'm gonna post that video of you snoring on the couch in the
green room.
Don't
do it.
See?
Don't do it.
I'll
be nice.
You better be nice.
This is our Christmas show. Mike, do you snore? Do you know? Does Denise say you snore?
Oh, I'm sure I do.
Yeah, probably. what is snoring? Why do we have to snore? I mean, that's a pain in the neck, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't know now, would I?
Yeah, you wouldn't know because you're sleeping. You sleep through it.
Yeah, right.
But this is the third hour of our show, our Christmas show, WGN Radio Theater. We're so happy to be here. We're going to be here on Saturday nights, too, beginning January 2nd. They doubled our time. We're on 6 hours a week starting January 2nd, Saturday and Sunday nights for 3 hours each night. Classic radio. Instead of playing three classic radio shows a week, Mike, do the math, we'll be doing 6 classic radio shows, huh?
Yeah, that
pretty
was pretty
good
fast.
Here. See, I graduated with the highest temperature in my class.
Do you want me to give it away?
What? Give what away?
The joke, the
No, I just
line.
Said it.
Oh.
I said I graduated with the highest temperature in my class.
Oh, okay.
So I could times 3 times 2 is 6.
Oh, okay, good.
That's how many radio shows we're going to be playing each week here. All right?
And they'll be, the same thing. We're going to be doing the same thing on Saturdays we do at Sundays. So we'll have a couple of contests and a lot of chatter from Carl.
That's right. Boston Blackie is coming your way in just a few minutes. It's a Christmas show with Boston Blackie. But first, our sponsors segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dirty Grandpa is an upcoming comedy starring this actor as a widower whose mourning process involves manipulating his grandson into a road trip to Daytona for spring break.
This is a road trip movie with a grandfather and grandson?
Yep. Yeah, the grandson is Zac Efron.
Right. Okay. So this actor, who is my favorite actor of all time, starred or co-starred in a movie in 1999 called Analyze This.
Yo,
You got a gift, my friend. You got a gift. Oh, yeah. You saw that there was something that I was trying to do, and you figured that out. That's why you are who you are.
All right, if you know who that is, give us a call right now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. If you get on the air and identify who that celebrity is, you'll win two tickets to see Baritones Unbound at the Royal George Theater. But let's take a break and then find our winner.
We are back with the Christmas edition of the WGN Radio Theater, as noted from the music. And we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
Yo. You got a gift, my friend. You got a gift. Oh, yeah. You saw that there was something that I was trying to do, and you figured that out. That's why you are who you are.
And we have Bill on the line from Stockton. You got a gift, Bill?
I believe that's Robert De Niro.
It definitely is Robert De Niro. He is fantastic, not only in Analyze This, but he'll be in Dirty Grandpa. You are a winner, Bill. You have won two tickets to see Baritones Unbound at the Royal George Theater. It's running through January 3rd, and you can check it out at theroyalgeorgetheater.com. I hope you love it, okay?
I will, I'm sure. Thanks.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bill. Merry Christmas to you. And thanks for tuning into the show. All right, time for Boston Blackie. This was a fictional detective character created by Jack Boyle. And he was a criminal. He was a safecracker. He was a master thief. But when he went to jail, he was rehabilitated. And he got out of jail and used the knowledge of the underworld that he had to fight crime. He was known as enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend. He was in silent films from 1919 through 1927, and then Columbia Pictures brought the character to the big screen, starring Chester Morris as Boston Blackie in 14 films. There were B-movies, but very, very enjoyable films. And in 1944, NBC Radio brought Chester Morris to the microphones to star as Boston Blackie on radio. But then in 1945, a syndicated series came to the radio starring Dick Calmar. He was married to Dorothy Kilgallen. And on TV, Kent Taylor played him in 58 episodes from 1951 to 53. So it's time now for a radio adventure of Boston Blackie. It's a Christmas show, December 22nd, 1948, called Stolen Rings at Christmas Time. Here's Dick Calmar as Boston Blackie.
Faraday, just because we're going out to have Christmas dinner together, don't forget you're driving an automobile, not a sleigh.
Now, Blackie, okay. Don't tell me you object to Inspector Faraday's being full of Christmas spirit on Christmas Eve.
No, Mary, I just object to his voice.
Very amusing. Blackie, I know now what I should have given you for Christmas. A sense of humor.
If I didn't already have one, how could I tolerate you?
Well, somebody should give you both a book of instructions on how to get along.
Yeah, especially he. Him.
You know we're only kidding, Mary.
We are.
Stop that man! Stop that man!
What?
Hey!
Did you hear that, Blackie?
Stop him!
Oh, not trouble
here
on
I see it. Shopkeeper's chasing a man up the street. Step on it, Faraday. We can catch him.
Don't tell me what to do.
Pull up to the curb now, Inspector, and I can grab him.
Now, take it easy. Take it easy.
Okay, we just passed him. Wait, don't jump till I've slowed down a little.
Well, hurry up, or he'll pass us.
Now, Blackie, be careful.
You mean, Blackie, be quick.
Well, now look out.
He goes. All right, you. You hold it right here now.
Let go of me, Matt.
Sure, as soon as the shopkeeper, gets here, and here he comes.
Hold on to him. He took four diamond rings out of my store.
Give me
those rings. Give them to me.
I don't have no rings of yours, Mac.
Oh, yes, you do. Right in your pocket here. I've watched you since you ran out of the store. You couldn't have given them to anybody.
I'll hold them while you search.
Yeah, let go.
Okay. Why, they're not here.
No, because I didn't take nothing, see?
Well, where are my rings? I want those rings.
So go find them. Only I got news for you. You ain't gonna find them on me.
And now on to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie, enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
He took the rings out of the tray on the counter here, Inspector Faraday.
You said that.
Yes, but he did. He took the rings and ran out that door.
Sorry, Mr. Stacy. Unless I find the stolen rings on this guy here, What can I do about it?
Nothing, Faraday. Absolutely nothing.
Well, quiet, you.
Look, Blackie, you and this copper pal of yours searched me twice. Out on the street and here in the store. The rings ain't on me.
But they are. You took them. I saw you.
If I took them, Mac, where are they now?
I have a pretty good idea.
I hope it's better than pretty good, Blackie, because this guy's made four rings to a pretty good disappearing act.
And I know how, too.
Yeah.
He threw them away when he saw he was being chased.
That's a lie.
Yes. Yes, he could have done that. He could have.
I'd like to bet he didn't.
Oh, go ahead, bet. Only let me alone. It's Christmas Eve. I got someplace to go.
I'll say you have. To headquarters, where I'm going to hold you until I find out who you are. And if you want it for anything else.
The only thing I want it for is Christmas Eve dinner. Hey, Blackie.
Yeah?
You're supposed to be such a genius. What happened?
Friend, before I'm through with you, for your Christmas dinner, I'm going to make you eat those words.
All visitors back behind the ropes, please. The passengers are coming down the gangplank now.
Hey, God. God.
Yes, what is it?
My name's Clark. I'm here to pick up a guy who don't speak English. Say not a word of it. Would you help me find him?
You know what he looks like?
Yeah, he's a big guy, about 6'6", maybe 250 pounds. His name's Zabby.
Well, there's a big guy coming down the gangplank now with a sign on him. Maybe that's the guy.
Oh, yeah, he looks like the guy I want. Hey, Abby! Abby!
Yeah, he's coming over, so I guess he understands his name, even if he doesn't understand English.
Yeah, I guess so. Thanks.
No trouble at all. All visitors behind the ropes, please.
He took you for Rai.
Sanya Abi. Bolo Grino. Ratsim Clark.
Ratsim Clark. Brag.
Sitaba Abi, you big jerk.
Braga. Ratsim Clark.
All right. You don't know what I'm talking about, Abi, because you don't know a word of English. But you use a gun good. Pretty good, they tell me. And if you do, we'll be speaking the same language, all right. Where are those rings, Martin? Where are they?
Listen, Clark, I told you I don't have them.
You're lying. I know you took them out of the store because I saw you run out of the place and beat it up the street.
Well, if you'd hung around, you'd have seen me nabbed and hauled off to police headquarters.
If you were caught by the police, you'd still be in jail.
Not me. I ain't got no record, remember? Blackie and that cop Faraday took me down there, checked on me, and let me go.
All right, you ran into trouble, but you got out of it. Now, where are those rings?
I ain't got
them. You took them out of the store, so why haven't you got them?
Calm down and give me a chance to tell you.
I'll give you just 10 seconds to hand over those rings. I spotted the jewelry store and cased it for you. Now, don't try to cross me.
Hey, now, look, don't get tough, or maybe I'll just leave the rings lay right where they are.
Oh, you will.
Yeah, I will. Hey, let go of me.
Sure. After I've taught you a little lesson.
Huh?
Hey, Abby, atone him.
Hey, who's that monster?
He's a character wanted for murder in Europe. A friend of mine sent him to me for Christmas.
Friend, huh?
He don't understand no English, but he's tough. I'm going to prove that to you.
Yeah?
Abby.
There's Bruno.
Abby, lead a lock.
Senna.
Hey.
Senna.
Hey, call this guy off. Call him off, Senna. I'll tell you. Call him off.
Senna.
Almost broke my jaw, Clark.
Abby. Struve Gondolak.
Yes, Dragana.
You lay off now, Martin. That is, unless you still have the idea you're not telling me what you did with those rings.
Sure, I'll tell you. When the jeweler was chasing me, I see a Santa Claus up the street ringing his bell and collecting stuff.
So?
So when I passed him just before Blackie grabbed me, I threw the rings in a big iron pot the Santa Claus had. Nobody saw me, and I know how to get them back.
You better. No, I thought for a minute there that you was going to be the only guy in history who gave Santa Claus a present.
Blackie, what's the matter with you and Inspector Faraday? Everybody else in this restaurant is having fun, but look at you two.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary, but I don't like what that guy Joe Martin did to us this evening.
And I don't like the fact that we had nothing on him in the file at headquarters.
No, eat your dinner, both of you.
All right.
This is Christmas Eve, and we're supposed to be having a party.
When we let Martin go, my appetite went with him.
Well,
Blackie, what did he do with those rings?
Who knows? He took them, according to the jeweler, but he got rid of them somehow without being seen. Apparently, he didn't throw them away because we searched the street.
Nope. When you two see Santa Claus, tell him that what you want for Christmas is an explanation of how Martin got rid of those rings.
Hey, wait a minute, Mary. That's not a bad thought.
Hmm?
No. I know how those rings were hidden and why they haven't been found.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Blackie. What's Santa Claus got to do with that?
Martin gave the rings to Santa Claus.
What? Blackie, haven't you heard? There ain't no Santa Claus.
There was one ringing a little bell on the corner near the jewelry store.
Yes, and Martin passed him just a few seconds before I caught up with him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But how would Martin give those rings to Santa Claus without Santa Claus knowing it?
By tossing them in his collection bucket, Faraday. Come on, we're getting out of here.
Blackie, that Santa Claus won't still be there.
No, but all those street corner St. Nicks are working for the Welfare Society.
Yeah, so?
I'll call them, and they'll tell me where we can find the guy.
You think Santa Claus still has the rings, huh?
Yep. If Martin hasn't found him by now and taken them back, in which case we'll find Santa Claus has been clipped.
Joe Martin, Clark.
Come in.
It's me.
Never mind the introduction. Where are the rings?
Well, keep Two-Ton Tony from Tibet away from me. I got the rings right here.
Well, where I want them is right here in my hand.
Sure. Here you are.
Thanks. Have any trouble with Santa Claus?
Yeah, the plan worked great.
Good.
You'll never even be able to tell anybody I was there.
Now, be a good little boy, and I take you in to see Santa Claus, Faraday, and maybe he'll bring you a nice little promotion.
Yeah. Look, he's an off-duty Santa Claus right now.
I know.
And according to the Welfare Society, his name is Henry James. How many more flights are there? Only this is a fine way to spend Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we may spend from now till New Year's working on a murder case, Faraday, if the welfare agency was right.
Yeah.
And another guy phoned for information about the same Santa Claus just before we did.
I know.
Oh, finally, here's the door.
Yeah, if he's in the kind of trouble you claim he is, he won't be in any condition to answer the door.
Don't remind me.
You and your theories. You had no right to think he's dead.
I hope I'm wrong. But I'll guarantee you, if he's not dead, he's tied up or unconscious or both.
Well, if you're so smart, you have that all figured out. You ought to be smart enough to know the only way we'll get in is to open the door ourselves.
Brilliant deduction, Inspector.
Yeah, and it's all mine.
I'll try the door to see if it's locked.
Blackie, how do you think up such wonderful ideas?
Uh-oh. Somebody's opened it for us.
Oh, sorry to keep you gentlemen waiting so long. I was taking a nap.
Are you Henry James?
Yes.
The Santa Claus on the corner near that jewelry store that was robbed earlier this evening?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'm Boston Blackie, and this is Inspector Faraday of the police.
Oh, how do you do?
How are you?
I saw you catch the thief, Blackie.
You did?
Won't you come in?
Thank you. James.
Yeah?
Did you have a visitor a little while ago?
A visitor?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no visitor.
No one came here and held you up to get back the four stolen rings he tossed in your collection?
Why, no, Inspector Faraday. No one's been here. And my collection bucket's right here on the table, untouched.
This collection bucket of yours hasn't been touched, James?
Certainly not.
Blackie, according to you, Joe Martin tossed the rings in the Santa Claus collection bucket. This is it.
I know.
According to you, Martin called the Welfare Society and found out where this particular Santa Claus lived.
Somebody asked about Mr. James before I called.
You don't say. But Mr. James says nobody's been here.
Well, he ought to know.
And you ought to know how ridiculous you are. I've looked through this collection bucket and there are no rings here. Nothing but coins. Santa Claus wasn't held up here. No rings were ever dropped in his bucket out on the street. Blackie, how wrong can a guy get?
All right, we're tuning into Boston Blackie Christmas show from December 22nd, 1948. Boston Blackie always had the same sort of thing every episode where the Inspector Faraday, played by Maurice Tarplin, he was always baffled. He couldn't figure out the crime. Well, Boston Blackie, to the rescue, Lisa. He would always solve the crime, help out the inspector, and the whole time they had sort of like how you and I have this little, you know,
This little thing
where,
what do we
you
have?
Know,
what
we,
kind of
we,
thing?
We love each other, but we like to give each other a hard time.
I wouldn't give you a hard time.
You know, it's like, we're like,
I always just say yes, whatever
it's like
you say.
Boston Blackie and Inspector Faraday, they really love each other, but they like to, you know, they like to rib each other a little.
Yeah, I wouldn't rib you.
No, absolutely not. All right, we'll get back to Boston Blackie in just a few minutes, but let's pay a few bills.
Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight with
I don't want to fight with you, Lisa.
You don't? I thought you did.
No.
You love fighting with me.
You're too tough. You're pretty tough.
You're like a
UFC fighter. You're so strong.
I know. Yeah.
You kick my butt.
I know.
She'd flip me and just throw me right to the canvas, and she'd pin me, and it would be over.
I wouldn't even know how.
11 seconds she'd have me pin and win the belt, the UFC belt. That's how good you are.
Yeah.
Because you're tough.
I know.
She's pretty strong. You should see the muscles on this girl. Oh, my gosh.
Since I work out every day.
You know, she's not a girly girl. She's a tough girl.
Yeah.
This Lisa Wolf, boy, I'll tell you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, going to Florida, slacking off.
It's true.
Going to Florida
it's
and just...
It's a one-week vacation.
You have loyal listeners over here. We want to hear you every Sunday night.
Well, that's good. Then
and
they'll
you're
going
to be in Florida.
Yeah. I'll call in and say hi.
Will you?
Yeah, I will.
Don't bother.
Thanks, though.
It's okay. We got
when Dan hears the phone and sees my number, he's just going to go click.
Yeah. We're like, we have phone trouble. I don't know. We couldn't answer.
Sorry, Lisa. We
had some kind of a disconnection problem.
Right.
We had a very nice listener ask us through Facebook to please mention the Cat's Pride email address again. If you don't know what we're talking about, we have a contest that we run every single week here. And then once a month, the CEO of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter comes in here and gives away a year's supply of Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Kitty Litter, which is the best kitty litter in the world. And your cat and you can win a year's supply if you send a picture of you and your cat to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. That's catspridephoto@gmail.com. And you're automatically entered into the drawing. Dan Jaffe does it randomly. We take all of the names. We put it in a hat. He draws one name. You could be a lucky winner. Somebody has to win. It could be you. And that's next week, the week that Lisa's gone. She's in Florida. You'll be listening. And we will draw a name. Dan Jaffe will be here. So get your entry in. Send a photo of you and your cat along with your name and your kitty's name and your city and state. Send a Cat's Pride photo at gmail.com. Lisa's looking at me like, what are you wound up? What have you been doing? You hopped up. You're talking like crazy over there, Carl.
I didn't say anything. I just looked at you. You knew what I was thinking.
You know what it is? I had a nap today.
You knew exactly what I was thinking, though. That's what's
interesting. I can read your very...
I'm looking at you going, are you still talking?
Your very small mind. I can read it.
You're still talking?
Yeah, I took a nap. From 3 to 5, I was out like a light.
I can hear that.
So here I am.
I hear that. You
wound up.
Right.
You got something you want to read or do something?
No, all good.
You're all good? You got something like you want to read
I'm
something?
I'm waiting for Boston Blackie
all right,
part 2.
Let's do it. Let's go back to this Christmas story with Boston Blackie.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Joe Martin steals 4 rings from a jewelry store. Just before he is caught by Boston Blackie, he runs down the street and tosses the rings into the collection box of a street corner Santa Claus. Later, at Santa's room, he apparently recovers the jewelry. But when Blackie and Inspector Faraday come to see Santa, Santa, whose real name is Henry James, insists that his collection box has not been touched. As we return to our story, Blackie continues his questioning of Santa Claus.
Look, Mr. James.
Yeah, Blackie?
Faraday is going back to headquarters because he thinks I'm wrong.
Well, maybe he's right.
But I still say that Martin tossed those rings into your collection bucket.
Believe me, Blackie, the collection is right here. It's untouched.
Yeah.
I was about to take it to the Welfare Society, and as I said before, no one's been here to see me. No one but you and the inspector.
You're sure you're not playing Santa Claus to Joe Martin?
Working with a thief? I should say not. I don't know why you should think so.
Because when I called the Welfare Society to get your name and address, I was told there'd been another call inquiring about you just a half an hour before.
Is that so?
I think that was Joe Martin calling to find out where he could find you.
Well, no Joe Martin came here, Blackie. In fact, nobody did.
And you've been right here in your room ever since you came back to get out of your Santa Claus suit?
Yeah, Blackie. Every minute, wait. I was out for just a minute on the telephone at the end of the hall.
Who was on the phone and when was this?
Oh, about 20 minutes ago. It was a man at the Welfare Society asked me if I'd collected a lot of money tonight.
Did the man say who he was?
No, just that he was an officer of the Society. I wouldn't have known him if he had given his name. I work for the Society only at Christmas time.
That's it, then. While you were on the phone talking to Martin or some friend of his, either Martin or an accomplice slipped in here and got back those stolen rings. Isn't that possible?
Well, yes, it is. My back was to the hall while I was on the phone, and the door to this room was partially open.
And thanks to what you've just told me, Mr. James, this case is practically closed. Now, Mary, don't stuff me so full of pillows that I can't stand
now,
up.
Blackie, you want to look like a big, fat, jolly Santa Claus, don't you?
Yes, but not like an overstuffed chair.
There. You're well padded and your coat's buttoned up. Now, try on your beard and let's see how you look.
Say, if I get clipped with this thing on my face, you might say my assailant is beating around the bush.
Oh, Blackie.
Well, how do I look?
With your cap on, I'd never know you, and that would be all right with me.
Well, you think that Joe Martin will know me?
Oh, I don't think so. He doesn't know you as well as I do to begin with. I wish you wouldn't try this, though, Blackie.
It's the only thing I can do, since Faraday wouldn't give me any help but Martin's address.
Well, in a way, he can't be blamed for not offering you any help. This isn't a murder case.
That's true.
And besides, you've been wrong all along.
According to him, that is.
Well,
young lady, hand me that sack of phony presents, and I'll put this case in the bag.
Faraday, homicide.
Hello, Inspector. This is Mary Wesley.
All right, let's have it, Miss Wesley.
Have what?
Blackie's newest theory on how to make me waste my time.
Blackie's newest plan isn't going to waste any of your time, Inspector.
In fact,
you may not have enough time to get down there and help him.
Get down where?
Well, after you gave him that fellow Martin's address, he got dressed in a Santa Claus suit and went down there alone.
What's he bothering Martin for?
Well,
we haven't got anything on him.
Blackie is positive that Martin retrieved those stolen rings from Santa Claus's collection bucket.
And I'm positive Blackie's positively out of his mind.
Well, anyway, I think you ought to go over to Martin's right away. You know the way Blackie's little schemes sometimes get him into trouble.
This time I hope he gets himself into plenty of trouble.
Well, gee.
Yeah, maybe it'll get him out of my hair.
I gotta hand it to you, Clark. That
was
a slick trick calling that Santa Claus at his house and keeping him on the phone while I sneaked in and got the rings out of his collection.
Well, I was just luck that it worked. What would we have done, Martin, if he'd taken his collection right down from his corner to the Welfare Society?
Yeah, that would have been just too bad, I guess.
Too bad for you.
Why?
Well, because my boy Abby knows how to use a gun as well as his fists.
Hey, look, you got the rings back, didn't you?
Yeah, sure, over there on the table. I came to your room to be sure I got him back.
Ah.
But Abby's going to be my chief assistant from now on, in charge of guys who make mistakes. Understand?
Okay, I understand. But it's sure going to be tough working with a guy who can't speak English or understand it.
I don't want him to be easy to work with. If you can't talk to him, you can't get friendly with him. Trigger men shouldn't have friends.
Hey, wait a minute. Who's there?
Santa Claus!
Get rid of him, Martin.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, son. Merry Christmas.
Hey, fatso, beat it.
The same Santa, Martin?
No. Beat it, Mac. You got the wrong house.
Oh, Merry Christmas, my boy. Can you spare
beat
a little...
Beat it, I said.
Now, wait a minute, Martin. He's collecting for the poor. Let him come in a minute.
Okay. Come on, Santa. Come on in.
Thank you. And a Merry Christmas.
What do you want from us, Santa?
Oh, anything you care to give. Just anything to help make it a Merry Christmas for the poor. Like those four diamond rings on the table there.
How about letting me give that beard of yours a tug?
Hey, no!
Hey, it's Boston Blackie.
I thought it was some kind of gag. Watch out, he's going to swing that sack he's carrying.
Oh. You'll have to swing it faster than that!
Yep. Work, Martin. You really flattened him. Now get him up on his feet. I've got a gun on him.
Sure. Oh, come on, Blackie. Get up.
Thanks.
Hey, what are you going to do with him? You can't kill him here.
I'm going to turn him over to Abby and let Abby take him for a little walk. Hey, Abby.
This is pretty dangerous, Clark.
Be a whole lot more dangerous if Blackie stays alive. Don't forget he's seen the rings and I'm wanted for murder out west, and Blackie can describe me.
I sure can.
Hey, Abby! What's the matter with that big hulk?
You're a color amra, Jim Clark.
Sanya, Abby. You'll attack Jalarov Yasada, Nugula.
Sena.
Okay, Martin, he knows.
Versina.
Just what kind of language is that?
Quiet, Blackie. All you have to know is that Abby's taking you for a walk with a gun on your back.
Oh, that's pleasant.
Abby Uka.
Sena. Sena.
Come on, Clark. Have Abby get this guy out of here. The cops may not be far behind him.
We better wait until those carol singers outside go away.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. They won't suspect anything. I'll have Abby take them out right now.
But what about those carol singers? They're just outside the house.
I'll tell Abby to keep a gun on Blackie and shoot him if he opens his mouth.
Hey, I got a better idea. Make Blackie sing and keep him singing. Then it'll seem like he's happy going down the street with Abby.
Yeah, good idea.
I'm really not in good voice this evening, gentlemen.
And you won't be in good condition when Abby gets through with you.
Quiet, Martin. Hey, Abby. Sura retsum, Blackie lingo. Finis tuda. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. Thank you, let's him glad.
All right. Go on, get going. Start singing, Blackie. Go on, start singing.
A command performance, huh? Oh, I didn't know you had such an appreciation for my talent.
So long, Blackie.
So long.
I said keep singing, Blackie. If you stop once more, Abby will shoot.
I won't stop then. So long.
So long, sucker.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Give me help, I can't yelp, but I'm on a spot. Where we'll go, I don't know, but I know I'll be shot.
Say, hear what that guy said.
When I passed, jump him fast. Oh, listen to my squawk.
Hey, listen to those words.
I have
words.
To sing this silly thing, because he'll kill me if I talk.
Hey, I don't think that
what
guy's
what you speak to him is Greek. He doesn't know a thing.
Come on, let's jump the guy.
So
watch out for gummies.
That's why I just pass you by and let you hear me sing.
All right, now get him.
That's it,
fellas.
Here,
let me at him, fellas. I can take care of him myself now.
Hey, nice punch, mister.
Nice going yourself, fellas, for understanding those words I was singing.
Okay, but at first we thought you were nuts. Hey, here comes a police car.
Hey, Blackie, you all right?
Well, Faraday, you decided to give me some help after all.
Yeah.
When Miss Wesley phoned me and said you were going through with your crazy plan, I thought I'd better get down here and keep you out of trouble. Who's the big guy on the sidewalk?
The guy working for Martin and his buddy, who was going to give me a one-way ride into the country.
Oh, great.
He's safe here. Let's go into the house and get Martin and his friend, who wanted to go out west.
Yeah, come on. Oh, look, there they go making a break for us.
Yeah. Well, let's break up that break.
Stop, you! Stop in the name of the law!
Look out, Faraday. They're trying to shoot their way out.
This'll stop him.
Yeah, that made him stop. Come on, let's grab him.
Watch out, Blackie. That guy's got a gun.
You bet I have.
You're not going to get a chance to use it, though, boy. I've got this one. Take care of the other one, Faraday.
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay. Lay off, copper.
No more, Blackie. No more.
Okay, Martin. No more. If you give me those rings.
Clark's got them.
Come on, you, Clark. Let's have them.
Yeah. Okay, here they are. Here.
One, two, three, four. They're all there, Faraday.
Good.
And Martin, Clark, and their pal Abby are all yours.
Ah. You take these guys back to my squad car, will you, Blackie? You're after this chase. I'm tired.
Oh, great, old man.
Yeah.
I go all out to catch these guys, and you're the one who's all in.
More in turkey, Inspector Faraday?
Yeah, a little bit, Miss Worthy.
Mm-hmm. And Blackie, how about you?
Oh, I'll have more of everything, Mary.
You.
Yeah, if turkey were brain food, I'd say you had plenty of room for it, Blackie.
Now, Inspector, this is Christmas Day. You and Blackie promised not to fight.
Mary, he's still upset because the case we just worked on didn't involve a murder.
You talk as if I like murder, Blackie.
You must like it, Inspector. The way you've murdered that turkey.
Very droll.
You mean very drool, don't you?
Now she's telling me what I mean. This thing must be contagious.
You know, Inspector, I'm glad the stolen rings case wasn't more complicated than it turned out to be.
Yeah, I'm glad we got it solved before Christmas was over.
Me too. Well, Inspector, men generally put a ring on a finger. But because Clark and Martin stole some rings, we put the finger on them. Hello, everybody. This is Dick Calmer. Every week after we finish one of our Boston Blackie shows, I indicate what I hope we'll be doing the following week.
Uh-huh. Look, Blackie.
Now, just a second. This time, it's going to be a little different.
Blackie, what's with you? What is going on here?
Just a minute, Faraday, please.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, I said I'm not going to tell you what we will be doing next week.
That's good.
I'm going to tell you what we hope you will be doing.
Very confusing.
Isn't almost everything confusing to you, Inspector? Listen, everybody.
What for?
Now, patience, Faraday, patience. Next week, I hope you and everyone you know and love will be enjoying the best holiday season you ever had.
Yeah, now...
That the next year will be a great year for all of you.
Could I say something, Blackie?
You, Inspector, can say anything, and you probably will.
Well, all I say is Merry Christmas to our listeners, Blackie. Merry Christmas to them all. Well, genius, how about one of your usual taglines?
Not this time, Faraday. Mm-hmm. All I say to everybody from Mary Wesley and all our cast is, until our next meetings, season's greetings.
All right, there you have it, a Boston Blackie Christmas story called Stolen Rings. At Christmas time with Dick Calmar as Boston Blackie. As I said, he was married to Dorothy Kilgallen. Dorothy Kilgallen was like sort of the, she was the probably the most powerful female columnist of the time. She worked for the Hearst newspapers, and she was a very, very, she was like a Barbara Walters of mm-hmm. her time. And they had a very interesting marriage, I'll tell you. And they did a breakfast show, a morning breakfast show called Breakfast with Dorothy and Dick out of their palatial penthouse apartment in New York City. And it was a real early morning show, 5 days a week. The mutual announcers would come in around 4:30 in the morning and set up microphones along their breakfast table. And they'd get up, and they'd be literally in their robes and pajamas and do the show around the breakfast table. Just talk about New York life and things that were happening. It was immensely, when I tell you popular, it was immensely popular. And in fact, go ahead, Lisa, what were you going to say?
No, go ahead. You can finish.
I was going to tell you that there was a movie that Woody Allen, many, many years ago, did. One of the best movies I think he ever did. It was called Radio Days. And they have a character, you know, is based on real radio things. I mean, a lot of the stories in that movie, it's a comedy, but a lot of it was based on fact. And they have these characters. They have this Breakfast with Dorothy and Dick characters in the movie, hysterical. So if you ever get a chance, see that movie, Radio Days. But they had this morning breakfast show called Breakfast with Dorothy and Dick. And then he was a Broadway producer and actor, and he did this Boston Blackie series. And he was terrific in it. He had just the right kind of smart-alecky tonality to his voice, and I just love the Boston Blackie series. Hope you enjoy that. Leslie Woods as Mary Wesley. Maurice Tarplin, who played the strange Dr. Weird and the mysterious traveler, was Inspector Faraday on that. Next week, Cat's Pride CEO Dan Jaffe will be here. And we'll be giving away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Make sure you get your photo in, catspridephoto@gmail.com. Enter our drawing. And then we're going to tune into The Shadow. Oh, you're going to like that. And we've had quite a few posts for Charlie McCarthy. So we're going to play the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy show next week. Also, Tales of the Texas Rangers with Joel McRae as star. That's next week right here. On the WGN Radio Theater without Lisa.
But I'll be back
the
next
same.
Week.
It won't
I
be the same
promise.
Without you, Lisa.
I'll miss you.
We'll probably nobody will be tuning in.
That's okay. They'll come back next week.
All right. So make sure that you listen next week, folks. I need the support.